The Texas Dawah Convention is pleased to present You Can Have the Family You Want by Siraj Wahaj.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters, I don't like to begin any session unless I make a dua that the Prophet made, alayhi salat wa salam. Allahumma inni a'udhubika min ilmin la yanfa'u. I seek refuge with Allah from knowledge that doesn't benefit. And if we're going to be here 1 minute or 1 hour, inshallah, we will take the knowledge and we will benefit it. I ask Allah the Almighty to bless this great conference. And over the last couple of days, you've learned a lot. You've gotten a lot of information. The conferences mean nothing if we come into the conference one way and we go out of the conference the same way we came in. So therefore, the success of the conference is not only what we get here from these great speakers, these scholars, these a'imma, the shuyukh, but when we walk out of this place, when we leave the hotel, when we leave the convention center, what will it be like tonight? What will it be like tomorrow? Allah blessed me over the years to have learned so much about Islam, primarily from the Quran, and then the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. So over the years, you have heard me quote verses from Quran and Ahadith. For me, I had to make a transition. In 1975, when I became a real Muslim, I had to unlearn things that I learned before. And Allah blessed me to learn about Islam and to implement it in my own life, alhamdulillah. I say that because I'm going to quote from a man that it would be very difficult for you to ever recall me quoting from him in the last 20-something years. But I think today it's appropriate so that we can learn a lesson. We were taught that as African Americans, there were three things that the white man didn't teach the African Americans, the former slaves, from the former slave master. Number one, the science of war. You don't want to teach your former slave how to make war, lest he makes war against you. Number two, the science of business. Don't want to teach the former slaves about the essence of business, And number three, what I want to talk to you about for a few moments is the science of how to choose a proper mate. We must admit this afternoon that there are problems in the marriage. I would submit to you tonight that most of our problems existed in the very choice of the marriage. There are those of you who are not married, raise your hand. Allahu Akbar. All the young men who raised their hand, who are not married, how many want to get married? Raise your hand. Sisters, take a look. And all the brothers that raised their hand, they want to get married. Now, you brother, you old brother, put your hand down. Now, all the young brothers that raised their hand who said they want to get married, how many of you want to get married tonight? Raise your hand. Subhanallah. A few weeks ago, after having traveled around the country, I came back to the masjid and learned that one of our sisters had gotten married. And when I learned whom she had married, I was very disappointed, because I felt that this sister had settled. And she married someone that she could have done much better. In the spirit of one of our Sahaba, I want to use a spirit from him to make my point. Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, when the Prophet found out from him that he was fasting every day, and our Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said that it's sufficient for you to fast three times, 3 days in 1 month. Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, he said this, and I want this to be your theme, the spirit of what he said. Inni utiku afdala min dhalik. I can do better than that. And I want you, my brothers and sisters who are not married, who raise your hand, who want to get married, you are in a wonderful position from this moment to make the kind of family that you want. It is in your hands. But you must have the spirit to say that I can do better than that. Sometimes our sisters, they get desperate, so that any man that comes along that wants to marry the sister, she's quick to say yes. But I'm saying tonight, inni utiku afdala min dhalik, I can do better than that. Two things I want to leave with you. Brothers and sisters, you are Muslims. You are not like everybody else. Let me tell you something about this country of which I was born. One of the greatest qualities of this country is its freedoms. The freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of the press. And because of the freedoms, we can come to this conference And you can have speakers and nobody tells them what to say. They come and they preach from the Quran and they preach from the Sunnah. No one can stop them because they have freedom of speech and they have freedom of religion. So we can come to this conference and we can practice our religion. No one will stop us from making salat. No one will stop us from fasting in the month of Ramadan. No one will stop us from making pilgrimage to Mecca. No one will stop us from eating the halal. That's good. But there is a test with the freedoms, because sometimes the freedom, if you don't check it, it goes so far. America is an experiment. It's an experiment in freedoms. But the people who come here, the people who visit here, the people who live here, the people who are born here, they must make a decision how far you will go with your freedom. It is my opinion. What did I say? My what? My opinion. Did I say it's in the Quran? Did I say hadith? I said it's my what? Opinion. You can take it or let it alone. In my opinion, some of the best Muslims in the world live in America. That's my opinion. Why do you say that? Because I lived in Mecca for 4 months. And when you live in Mecca, it's easy to practice the religion of Islam. Everywhere you go, almost every few blocks, there's a masjid there, and you hear the adhan, and the adhan is on the radio and on the television. I watch the Muslims in Houston, Texas, the sisters that go shopping in Dallas, Texas, and in New York City, and in Detroit, and Los Angeles. They go to the supermarket, and they pick up a loaf of bread, and when they pick up a loaf of bread, you see them reading the ingredients. What are you looking for? To make sure that there's no lard, make sure there's no pork in the bread, in the cookies, in the food, to make sure there's no alcohol. Why? Because everywhere you turn around in America, in Houston, Texas, and in Dallas, and all over America, you are tested with the haram. And if you're a Muslim and you can live in this society and not touch the foods of the haram of this society, you can become some of the strongest Muslims in the world. It's my opinion. My what? Opinion. That some of the worst Muslims in the world live in America. Why is it? Because you have all of the temptations, especially the youth. And if you can stay away from the temptation, you're one of the best Muslims, the strongest Muslims. And if you give in to the temptation, you wind up being like everybody else. And then when you look at some Muslims, you can't tell the difference between a Muslim and a kafir except in the name. So we call ourselves Muslim. I'm a Muslim. But when you look at the actions of the person, their actions is just like those who don't believe. So some of the best Muslims are the strongest Muslims are in America, and some of the weakest Muslims are in America, in my opinion. So now you have to make a decision. I believe the most important decision you will ever make in your life after becoming Muslim is whom you shall choose to marry. Two things. And consider what Allah says. Brothers and sisters, my thesis this afternoon in my short talk, by the way, I got some extraordinarily good news for you. I got some good news. You ready? Can you stand some good news? Brothers and sisters, I have a reputation of being long-winded. Long speeches. But in honor of you tonight, I promise you I will not speak more than 4 hours. I promise you.
You're not supposed to say takbir.
After becoming Muslim, to me, one of the greatest decisions you will make is whom to marry. And my thesis tonight, my short thesis is this. I have determined after studying the Quran and the Sunnah for so many years, I've come to the conclusion that there is no institution that comes close to the institution of family toward helping one another go to Al-Jannah. Nothing even comes close to it. In the next few moments, I'm going to prove it to you. How important it is to whom you marry. It is so important, brother. Most of us, we haven't got a clue who we're going to marry. Farouk, there was an old song. Maybe you remember it. It goes something like this. Now, I'm not a singer. I can't sing, so don't get angry at me. But the song went something like this. You want to be happy for the rest of your life. Never make a pretty woman your wife. You ever hear that? I have to amend it a little bit. You want to be happy for the rest of your life. Never let a pretty woman without taqwa be your wife. Because right now, many people, they get married for the wrong reason. So Allah gives a hint in the Quran. لَتَنْكِهُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَّ And do not marry the pagan women until they believe. Stop. How many fathers we have here? Good. I want to talk to you for a second, Dad. There will be men coming to you who want to talk to your daughters. They already came, I'm sure. Brother came to me, Brother Imam Siraj, I'd like to take your daughter to dinner. I said, sure, you can take my daughter to dinner, you and my daughter and me. Allah said in the Quran, you know, and this is the beautiful thing about the Arabic language. One vowel change changes the meaning. La tenkihu, la tunkihu. La tenkihu, don't you marry the pagan women. La tunkihu mushrikeena hatta yu'minu. And you man, you father, you brother, don't you marry your daughters, don't you marry your sisters, don't you marry your granddaughters, don't you marry your nieces to the pagan men until they believe. Who is Allah speaking to? He's speaking to the man. Now, the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, La nikaha biduni wali. There is no marriage without what? A guardian. No, I'm not gonna, it's not gonna be one of those heavy talks, Billy. I assume you had this discussion already, but I wanna make sure to lay the foundation so I can get where I wanna go. Okay? Can you be patient with me? I'm laying the foundation for a reason because I'm going somewhere and I wanna take you with me. Okay? In order to appreciate that, you have to appreciate the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Allah says, "An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim." And the Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves. Now, I found a hadith, brothers and sisters, that changed my life. This hadith you can find in Muslim Hadith, volume number 2, under the chapter Talaq Divorce, in the section called Talaq Ghayru Raji'i, Irrevocable Divorce, the first 15 or 20 ahadith. I'm going to narrate one of them and make my point, and then I'm going to try to make the conclusion, because in the end of the day, when you leave this conference, you want to make sure that you will create the family that you want. Now, how many fathers? Raise your hand. Good. How many brothers do we have who have younger sisters? Raise your hand. Okay, good, good. Now, Fatima bin Qais was divorced from her husband irrevocably. And when her iddah was over, three men were interested in marrying her: Muawi ibn Abi Sufyan, Abu Jahmi, and Usama bin Zayd. And the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, acting as wali for Fatima, he said, "Don't marry Abu Jahmi because he has a habit of beating women." Don't marry him. And don't marry Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan because he cannot afford to take care of you. In kihi Usama. Marry Usama. So no, not Usama, no. Marry Usama. No, not Usama. And the Prophet insisted. And you know what? She married Usama. And she said the marriage was so good, she became the envy of the other women. Now, I'm going to suggest something. You might want to call it bid'ah. I don't think so. Any brother who wants to marry your daughter, you have to do a background check. Do a what? Background check. Who is this man who wants to marry my daughter? I'll check you out. No, I'm serious. You better bring some references. Right? I want to see a resume. You think I'm kidding? Brother and sister, I'm telling you something. The Prophet taught us a lesson. He knew something about these men so that he can make a good evaluation and a good determination for this woman. That's not his daughter, but he's the messenger of Allah, and he's concerned about every Muslim, and therefore he gave her good advice. And brothers and sisters, we must do the same thing. Can I be honest with you? No? Brothers and sisters, we have 300,000 Muslims in the prisons of the United States. A brother comes out of prison. He comes to the masjid. Should you know why he was in prison? There used to be a time I was so naive. Brother come out of prison. Oh, brother, it's all right. Don't tell me why you were in prison. Brother said, no. Allahu Akbar. No, it's not being unfair and unkind. It's being real. We had a brother and sister. We learned by experience in our community. We learned by experience. We had a brother that we married to a sister years ago and found out he was a pedophile. And he did what pedophiles do. So we learned the lesson. But by the way, all of these crimes is public. It's public information. Anyway, I'm saying give a man a second chance. We should give him another chance, right? But yet, you should know why they're in prison. Background check. Now, Having said that, now let me make my major point, and then I'm going to conclude. How much time I have?
Three and a half hours, yeah, right.
But it says, let me finish this, and I'm going to try to condense. I have a, literally, wallahi, I have a two-hour talk that I'm going to try to condense in the next 15 minutes or so. How many of you ever heard the term unconditional love? Christians say it all the time. God loves us unconditionally. That's a lie. Wrong. Because if you study the Quran is replete with what the Arabs called, what the Arab grammarians called, jumlatul shartiyya. And that is conditional sentences. The whole Quran. And tansurullah yansurkum. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. If you walk to Allah, Allah will run to you. Allah doesn't love the unjust. Many things, right? So in a conditional sentence, there's what's called the shart, the condition, and jawabu shart, the answer to the condition. So how many agree in Islam there's no such thing as unconditional love? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Some of you not raising your hand. Why? Tell me why. Some of you not raising your hand. Tell me why. Because Allah is merciful. Oh, that's fair. Okay. That's good. But let me tell you something. I've been saying this for years. No such thing as unconditional love. But I changed my mind. There is unconditional love. However, the only way there's unconditional love is toward the servant to Allah. One way, and that is we as slaves of Allah love Him unconditionally. Let me tell you why I say that. And let me give you one proof, and then I'm going to show you in my experience the closest human being to another human being that came closest to unconditional love, in my opinion, from my studies. Number one, there's a brother in our masjid named Brother Ali Abdul Karim. Subhanallah. Ooh, man. Any of you study martial arts? Mujahid, you study martial arts? Somewhat. We have a brother in our masjid, mashallah, Ali Abdul Karim, black belt. You know him. Seventh degree. Man is nasty. He come here in this auditorium, wipe us out. I'm glad he's on our side. And I watch him. I go sometime, I sit down in the classes, and my favorite time is when Ali is conferring on his students a belt, right? So the white belts, they give them a yellow belt and a green belt, and they give them a black belt, and they give them different degrees. Now, I found out that a few days ago, his teacher, Grandmaster, 10th degree, nominated our brother Ali for the Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And they're gonna have a major program at Madison Square Garden, and I told the brothers we ought to go there and support him. And I intend to be there, inshallah, to support our brother. Now, I say that, brothers and sisters, I ask Allah to help me in the next few moments to crystallize what I want to say so that you leave this conference in your hand this magnificent picture of a family. If you look at the prophets and ask yourself the question of the prophets, who's the master? You will say automatically, Abraham. Ibrahim. Many reasons. Many hadith, ayats from Quran. Let me give you a couple of them. قَدَ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَ. Put that over there for a second. Could you put that there for a second? وَالَّذِينَ مَعَ. Can you remind me? What's over here? وَالَّذِينَ مَعَ. Thank you. Abraham. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. When he went to the heavens, He saw wajada fi sama' ad-dunya Adam. And he saw on the lowest heaven who? Our father, Adam. And all between, he saw prophets. He saw Idris. He saw Musa. He saw Isa. And the Sabia, who did he see on the seventh heaven? Abraham. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, said, Awala man yuksa yawm al-qiyama. Say Abraham. The first one to be dressed on the day of judgment will be Abraham. Everybody will be resurrected naked. And Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, won't the men be looking at the women? Not on that day. Trust me, brothers. Trust me. On that day, you ain't even worried about it. Right? And you go back and forth. And I used to work at a clinic, a mental health clinic, before I became full-time imam. I was an imam, but I wasn't paid. I was working part-time. But I worked in a mental health clinic. And I had a supervisor named Dr. Stevenson. He's a Christian. Dr. Stevenson said, Siraj, I finally figured out how come you Muslims never look happy. I said, why? He said, because we got all these holidays and you only have two. But if you think about it, we have a lot of holidays, don't we? I mean, you got Christmas, you got Thanksgiving, you got Veterans Day, you got Columbus Day, blah, 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 blah. Right? George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr. But Muslims only have two holidays. And what is one of them? Al-Hajj. And what is Hajj? Commemorating who? Ibrahim. Walladhina ma'ah. I'll be there in a minute. You stay right there. Brothers and sisters, look at this. It's unbelievable. People give lip service to Prophet Abraham. Inni ja'iluka linnas imamin. And I will make you, Abraham, a leader of the people. Everybody claims Abraham. Everybody claims Abraham. And the Jews say Abraham is a Jew. And the Christians say Abraham is a Christian. And the Muslims say Abraham is a Muslim. Everybody claims Abraham. Why? Because Abraham is the man. Yeah. Abraham is the master. And you don't believe me? You don't believe me? How come every day, every time a Muslim pray, he says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad. Bless Muhammad. And the followers of Muhammad. As you did bless Abraham and the followers of Abraham. I'm coming here in 1 minute. And when you look at Abraham, peace and blessing be upon him, you see him as the master. And you know what you find out about Abraham? Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. Same in the Bible. God took Abraham as a friend. He's in the Bible. He's in the Torah. He's in the Injil. He's in the Quran. Why? Abraham is the man. Now, how many of you made Hajj? Raise your hand. Lord. How many didn't make Hajj? Raise your hand. I make dua that Allah will bless every one of you to go to Hajj. But when you're at Muzdalifah, early in the morning, you collect 70 pebbles. Why are you collecting 70 pebbles? Because on the next day, you go to Mina. And you're going to go at the Jamarat and you're going to throw Bismillah. You're going to throw the stones at the Jamarat. Bismillah.
Bismillah, Bismillah. What you doing? You're doing a ritual. You are doing what Abraham lived for real. When Allah commanded him to sacrifice his son, Shaitan came. And Abraham took stones and threw at him. At those very spots where you throw the gem, at the Gemarites, at the very spots. All right. You want to see an ideal family? You want to make a decision what kind of family you want? Look at the family of Abraham. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَ. And when you make dua, you don't only say bless Abraham, you say bless the family of Abraham. Bless the followers of Abraham. You said that Abraham was the master, but let me ask you a question. How many followers did Abraham have? A handful. Just a handful. And you know what? One of his followers, his son Ishmael. He tells his son, I see in my dream that I should sacrifice for you. He says, do what you commanded to do. لَتَجِدُونِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You will find me among the patient. So Abraham, unconditional love. Allah says sacrifice your son. There's no question. He's about to sacrifice his son. And his son is willing to be sacrificed. Ishmael, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the closest example that I've ever found in a person's unconditional love and obedience for another human being, his father, but his unconditional obedience to his father was an extension to his obedience to Allah, because he said, do what your Lord command you to do. Now, okay, one more. I'm almost finished. I'm almost there. I need your hands one more time. How many of you married? Raise your hand. Good. Your father comes to you. Says, son, you know that woman you married to? I want you to divorce her. Come on. How many of you think, don't raise your hand. How many of you really think you said that? Okay. Now, let's be real. Some of you wanted to divorce her anyway. So, yeah, Dad, I'll divorce her. But his son, Ishmael, think about it. His father wasn't even there for the wedding. And once he finds out that his father wants him to divorce his wife, he divorced. Go home to your family. And not only that, Abraham comes, alayhi salat wa salam, and says, Allah says, son, Allah ordered me to do something. He says, do what your Lord orders you to do. And then he says, will you help me? His son don't even ask why. He says, yes. Allah wants you to help me to build this house. Now, almost finished. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَ. Sisters, I'm saying to you tonight in this place that there's no better institution than the institution of family to help us get to Jannah. Look at the picture. Abraham brings his wife Hagar and the little boy Ishmael, and they bring him to a desert. No water, no people, and all she has is a bag of dates and a container of water. He puts the son down, and Abraham turns his back, and he starts to walk away. And Hajar, فَتَّبِعَتْهُ, she follows him.
Ya Ibrahim, أَيْنَ تَذْهَبْ, where are you going?
He keeps on walking.
أَيْنَ تَذْهَبْ,
he keeps on walking, and he doesn't turn around. And then she says, Allahu amaraka bihadha? Is it Allah ordering you to do this? He says, Na'am, yes. And then she says, then Allah will never neglect us. And she goes back.
You want to know family? You want to know family? She goes back, and Abraham walks away until he gets out of their sight. And he turns to the Kaaba and he makes dua to his Lord.
And he goes away.
And then the dates are gone. The water is gone.
And then the son is thirsty. The mother is thirsty.
Where does she go?
Mount Safa.
What you looking for? She's looking for somebody to help her. Nobody there.
And then she comes down Safar. She goes down in the valley and she lifts up her robe and she runs
and she goes to Mount Marwa and she looks and she runs and she goes down and she runs back and forth 7 times. You do that. You go to Mecca and you go between Safar and Marwa. When you go, there are thousands of people there, maybe 2 million people there, and you can't even run. And so when you get down in the valley, you try to run, but you can't run. There's too many people. But when Hajar did it, she was there alone by herself. What are we doing? We're doing a ritual.
But she did in real life. And guess what? She's crying out to Allah. And she hears a voice. And lo and behold is the angel Jibril.
And where is he? And what is he doing? His heels upon the ground. And the water spreads out, the water of Zamzam. And where is it?
In the very location that Prophet Abraham put his son Ishmael.
You don't want to know what the family's supposed to do?
I tell you. What was the last words of Abraham as they were throwing him in the fire? Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. And this is where I want to end. What does that mean? You know what we think it means? Oh Allah, save me from this. It don't mean save me from it. You know what it really means? Allah, your will be done. You want proof? Do you think that Allah have the ability to save everyone if he wants to?
Have there not been prophets murdered? Wasn't John the Baptist beheaded? Weren't some of the prophets murdered?
And Allah gives a hint.
وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ مدون إلى رسول قد خلت من قبل رسول أفإن مات أو قتل.
And Muhammad is nothing more than a prophet. Prophets were killed before. Prophets have died before. So if Muhammad dies, or if he turns on his heels, will you then, if he dies or if he's murdered, will you then turn on your heels? And you know what that means in my conclusion? It means if you want to have a family, the key to the family is absolute submission to do the will of Allah.
I don't want to go to prison. I don't.
But if Allah destines me to be in prison, Brother Ali Tamimi in Northern Virginia was sentenced to life imprisonment without any parole. And you know what he said? The day they sentenced him, he said, I'm not going to ask mercy from the court. I am innocent, and I'm not going to ask the court for mercy. Dr. Rafiq Saber in New York City, sentenced 25 years in prison. One day they may pick Imam Siraj or Mujahid or any of us. Will you turn back your heels? If Allah calls us to die, fi sabilillah, will you go back? This family, Ibrahim waladhina ma'a, were great examples for us. And I found no institution greater. Here's a man who goes to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, my father is an old man and he can't make Hajj. Can I make it for him? Naam. Think about it, Sheikh. We've been around for years. We've known each other over 30 years, right? I got 9 children. You have 12. I'll catch up, inshallah. Let's have a race. But listen to what the Prophet said. إِذَا مَتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْ قَتَ عَمَالَهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَ مِنْ وَلِدٍ صَالِحٍ يَذْعُوا لَهُ. And when a person dies, all of their works is finished, except 3. One of them, righteous children, who make dua for them. You and I in the grave, our 12 children and our 9 children making dua for us, still getting credit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said 3 supplications are answered. One of them, the supplication for the father, for their child. If you study the Quran and Hadith, you will find so many ways for us to help each other go to Jannah. And what's it all about? Al-Jannah. It's Jannah. Honestly, it's Jannah. No one who dies and go to Jannah will want to come back except a martyr who died in the way of Allah. He wants to come back and die 10 more times in the way of Allah. So brothers and sisters, your mothers and fathers, grab them. You are blessed. My mother and father weren't Muslim. When I was 7 years old, living in Brooklyn, my father called me to the kitchen. My father named Willie Cass. Willie Cass. I love him. I don't say this to dishonor my father. I honor my father, even though he wasn't Muslim. He said, come, son. I was 7 years old in the kitchen on Clarkson Avenue in Brooklyn. He said, come, son. He went and got a bottle of alcohol, whiskey, and poured it in a cup and said, son, drink this. This will make a man out of you. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. My mom made sure I go to church every Sunday. She did the best that she can. But you know what? My children now, my son Muhammad, my youngest son, a few years ago, he went to Mecca, made pilgrimage. 2 years later, his sister, Huja, went to Mecca to make pilgrimage, but he didn't want her to go by herself, so he went with her. For the second time, he made pilgrimage. We, the family, help one another to go to Al-Jannah. Love, love, love in this dunya is a little bit different. But the real love is for Allah and His Messenger, and we love each other for Allah. Make good decisions. Dad, be careful whom you marry your daughters to. It'll come back to haunt us. It's in your hands. You're Muslims, and we want Jannah. Get those who are going to help us to go to Jannah. May Allah bless you, bless this conference, and go away with a sense of great family. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah khair, Imam Siraj. I was blessed with the opportunity to be in Philadelphia in November. And in Philadelphia, I learned a valuable lesson. Because I attended an event, a conference, from MANA, a new concept, in my opinion. I've been Muslim, alhamdulillah, about 6 years. I'm Hispanic. And when I went to Philadelphia, I saw a lot of good happening in the environment. There was like an electrifying feeling in the environment. It was very active. It was a convention held by MANA, Muslim Alliance of North America. Imam Siraj is the emir of Muslim Alliance of North America. It was the first conference, and it just shocked everyone who attended the dynamic approach of activists. Don't know how to describe it. It was just good. Many initiatives came from out of that gathering in regards to something that he mentioned, which is brothers who are coming out of the prison system. Who is supporting these brothers who are coming out of the prison system? Are our communities doing something for the brothers coming out of the prison system? How about the brothers who embrace Islam? What is there for them in regards to a foundation? What's happening with the families of these individuals? And so on. And I personally benefited greatly from Imam Siraj and many of the people who were there because they poured out their heart in regards to making the whole environment like a human family. I'll just mention one thing, and bi'idhnillah, if the organizers allow us about 5 minutes, questions and answers, bi'idhnillah. I personally embraced Islam about 6 years ago, and I was the first individual in my family to receive the message of Islam. When I became Muslim, I automatically left off many of the things that I was doing before, like the alcohol, the women, the drugs. Cut it off right from the root, from one day to the next after taking Shahada. When I went to my house, my parents thought I was brainwashed by some individuals who happened to be called Muslims. And it was strange for me to see my mother, for example, who had been suggesting that I leave off these things, stop going out late nights, to leave drinking and doing all these things that I was doing. It was interesting to see that she was telling me that I had become extreme because I left it. So I asked her, "You've been asking me to leave this. Now I did, and now it's something negative." My father, who is a very educated man, alhamdulillah, from Colombia, knows some English. We spoke in Spanish, and he said, "Why did you choose this Islam?" I said, "You're my father, and you've taught me the best that you've been able to teach me. There's one thing you taught me that led me to Islam, which is to read. So I ask you to please read some material, and you make a decision about Islam." Alhamdulillah, with his reasoning and his questioning and search for truth, 3 months later, he accepted Islam. My mother used to say, "You guys don't bring none of this to me. I'm a Catholic. I will die a Catholic. My parents are a Catholic. Don't talk to me about religion." I said, "If Allah wills, he'll guide you." And 3 years later, she accepted Islam. Our families are the beginning of change in this society. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, with the information that you brothers and sisters have gained in this gathering, and with the advice and the eloquence that Imam Siraj explained to us, the family of Ibrahim, we hope bi'idhnillahi ta'ala that you leave from this place a better individual, and you can do good within your family, and that it spreads out to the Muslim community, and from the Muslim community spreads out to the overall society.
Brothers and sisters, I got a very good question. You see, Allah is great. You asked the question, you helped me. The person asked the question, you chose Abraham as an example and not the great master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just curious. And let me tell you something. I meant to end with Muhammad. Let me prove it to you. Brothers and sisters, see, the truth of the matter is you and I can't follow Abraham. You can't do it. Why? The Quran mentions Suhufu Ibrahim, the books of Ibrahim. Where is it? If you study the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet to follow Ibrahim. When they said to him, Kunu hudan wa nasara, bal millata Ibrahim hanifan wa man kana min al-mushrikeen. No. The religion of Abraham. Now, I said that Prophet Abraham was the master, right? And I mentioned Ali for a reason. The reason I mentioned Ali from my community is that because it takes a master to make a master. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ana sa'idun nas yawm al-qiyamah. I will be the master of mankind in yawm al-qiyamah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet to the Mi'raj. And when he took the journey, the night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, the Prophet led the other prophets, including Ibrahim, in Salat. Not only that, in Bukhari Hadith, you will find on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, will knock on the door of Jannah. And the angel, the gatekeeper, will ask, "Men, and who are you?" He says, "Ana Muhammad." And he will say, "I have been commanded to let no one in Jannah before you." So there's no argument about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has given us the last messenger in the honorable. I was just mentioning Abraham in relationship to the ritual that we have. That was the point. Not to bring down our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. So no, brothers and sisters, our example, in the same word that Allah used in the Quran for Ibrahim, Uswatun Hasana, he used the same term for Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So make no mistake about that. Thanks for asking the question. The last question, brothers and sisters, is this. Some of you will find, how many of you have been married for at least 10 years? Raise your hand. Good. At least 20 years. 25? Allahu Akbar, 30 years. Allahu Akbar, 40? Allahu Akbar, 50? All married 25 and more, stand up, 25 years. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is great. May Allah bless all of you to be married 25, 30 years. Now, brothers and sisters, you see these brothers and sisters who stood up? You're going to find out that the longer you're married, your relationship is going to change. It's going to grow. It's not the same as it was when you first got married. You'll see. It'll develop to something different. And the beautiful thing about the relationship, you know what's remarkable? You remember Kobe Bryant? Why are you laughing? Remember a few years ago, he was accused of raping that woman he said he had, you know, remember? How many ever seen the wife of Kobe Bryant? I mean, come on. Right? You got my point? You got my point? You got my point? And you will find men, there was a man married to a woman, she was Miss America. And he cheated on his wife. So, brothers and sisters, it's not beauty all the time. Because, wallahi, the most beautiful woman, soon she's going to be transformed to something different. If she lived long enough, believe me. True? So, relationships change. So, the beautiful thing, the thing that lasts is the character. Now, someone asked me a question, and I'll say this, that whatever problems you have in your marriage, and I think you had some of this in this conference, seek counsel. Whatever the issue is, you seek counsel, and counselors that will help you, inshallah, to solve whatever problems you have. I think the question is too sensitive for me to ask publicly, but I will say this, that inshallah, seek Allah's help first, and then seek help from good counselors, not some of these people in the dunya. Because mashallah, I've heard some of these so psychologists in the dunya, and they tell our Muslim youth what to do, and really, brothers and sisters, if you have no faith, you will give wrong advice. And that advice has to be based upon, number one, the Quran and the Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Jazakallah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this presentation. For more Texas Dawah information, news, and downloads, please visit the Texas Dawah website, texasdawah.org. That's www.texasdawah.org.